from things done.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hosting a White House ceremony, Biden noted it's the first significant firearms bill to clear Congress in nearly three decades. The firearms bill doesn't ban any guns, including military-style assault weapons or high-capacity ammunition magazines. About two-thirds of Americans approve of the new gun law signed by the president. A Pew Research report revealed 78% of respondents believe gun legislation will do little or nothing at all to reduce gun violence. Tomorrow's public January 6th House Committee hearing will focus on the role of extremist groups in last year's assault on the U.S. Capitol. Florida Democrat Stephanie Murphy told NBC News that then-President Trump tweeted a siren call to white nationalist groups to attend the big rally near the White House in the hours before the Capitol attack. Trump predicted it would be wild. India will soon surpass China in total population. A new United Nations report predicts it will happen sometime next year. Both countries are home to over 1.4 billion people as of 2022. Interior ministers from 27 European Union member states are meeting with their Ukrainian and Moldovan counterparts to discuss the fallout of Russia's war in Ukraine on the bloc's internal security. Rosie Burchard reports from Brussels.
There are serious concerns about increased human trafficking, alongside fears that illegal firearm smuggling and money laundering may also be on the rise. Ministers are set to discuss joint plans to ramp up security cooperation measures and offer fresh support to Moldova. The country, which borders Ukraine, is among Europe's poorest nations. It's taken in hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian refugees, and on Monday, EU nations are expected to pledge more cooperation with Moldova on border management and the fight against organized crime.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Need a break from the sound bites and the talking heads? Do you want information you can actually use? Information that'll change your life for the better? Then listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del will show you how to retire in 2 to 5 years. Your age doesn't matter. Turn off the pundits and turn on the passive income. Tune in to the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly sunny skies today. High temperatures, not too bad, around 83, 84 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with some patchy fog rolling back in. Low temperatures back down to about 61. For Tuesday, that fog will hang around, but making way to sunny skies yet again. High temperatures around 83. Increasing clouds for Tuesday night. Lows back down to about 57. For Wednesday, Thursday, and for Friday, more sunshine expected. High temperatures a little cooler, but still hovering in the mid to upper 70s. Shaping up to be a pretty nice week.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are your thoughts keeping you small? Are you ready to get big? I will offer you ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. Explore what is keeping you small and how to shift your behaviors in order to get big. Learn what is possible for you. Get ready to get big and live life out loud starting now.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Get Big Out Loud. I'm Carrie Knutson, and I have Dr. Pat with me today, and today's show is all about navigating anxiety, something that I thought we could all spend a little time talking about today, and Dr. Pat and I have some ideas to share and some stories, and as usual, a great show ahead for you all about anxiety and how we can navigate it, especially in today's times, but also just in our regular lives. Without anything extraordinary going on, a lot of us deal with anxiety, so I think it's important to be able to talk about this topic in a way that's meaningful and useful for you.
Yeah, and you know, anxiety is one of these things that you can really pinpoint to a thing. Now, there are some people that have, right, you know, this global factor, but it's so great to see you push through whatever anxiety you may have and open the show, everybody, you know, right here. This is Get Big Out Loud. Great opening, Carrie. I love the way you bring that on. But here's the question. We're now seeing the numbers. We're seeing the anxiety in schools. We're seeing anxiety levels from uncertainty. We're seeing what happens when people think, oh, COVID's over. We should be back to normal. But I can't seem to do dot, dot, dot. I have a best friend who just cannot stand to get a needle. like an injection from a doctor. But what is your view of anxiety, and what have you learned from it, especially in the emotional intelligence world, and especially, you know, in your career path and what you've seen?
Yeah, well, I think the reason I picked anxiety this month is because I'm feeling a lot of it, but globally, personally, lots of changes and shifts in my own life, lots of changes and shifts in the world, but also in my experience as a professional, as a therapist, I see a lot of anxiety in people's, like, the day-to-day anxieties that we have, and I feel like anxiety can come from a lot of different places, and many times what we have to think about is, am I feeling the day-to-day anxiety of being human and the things I have to deal with, or is it an extreme level where it's affecting my ability to function, to do the things I need to do, and when do I need to get help for my anxiety? Because one of the things I think is people kind of discount the fact that, oh, I'm anxious, so is everyone else, but I do think there's a level when you have a hard time functioning in your life and you can't seem to manage it, that help is available, and I should definitely seek counseling for that, because there's a lot of treatment options and we don't have to live with it. And that's another reason why I wanted to talk about this, because I feel like living with overwhelming, constant, insufferable anxiety is something we should not make normal in a society that says, go faster, be more, do more, be anxious and stressed like the rest of us. That's not our optimum human functioning. Anxiety, what I want to talk about today is there's some perks of anxiety, and then there's like when you cross the line to like managing it, and then when you cross another line into saying like it's managing me, right? So that's sort of what I want to differentiate between. And in my own life as a just a human being, like experiencing anxiety on one level and then helping people with their anxiety and then seeing the global effects of anxiety are something I think we should just touch on a bit to like normalize the fact that we are dealing with a lot right now, and that on top of global issues, personal issues can really exacerbate that anxiety. And the final thing I'll say is, as we set up for today, is a lot of times we tend to judge, like, why does this make me anxious over that? And, like, so I want to talk to you about the judgment around anxiety and, like, how we can stop judging and start being a little more curious, because anxiety isn't a one-size-fits-all. We don't experience it in the same way, but yet it is a very human response, and it's not always bad, even though it has a very negative stigma. So those are all the things. That's my platter of things I'd like to talk about today.
But it's a great platter. It's really the buffet, because when we talk about anxiety, Carrie, right, we're not talking about, we're talking about something that has many, many layers to it, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And it could affect various places in our lives. You know, we throw the word anxiety around, but anxiety can be pinpointed to a thing, and not just one thing. There may be multiple things. They may be tied together, right? There may be some things that turn anxiety into worry, right? All of this. But what are some of the areas that, you know, what are people thinking about? What are some of the triggers?
So when I think about anxiety, some of the triggers are, it usually could be about something you're anticipating that you don't have control over the outcome. So something that you have to do, like maybe give a speech or a toast, like, and you're anticipating the thing and you're either uncomfortable with it because you haven't done it a lot, or you can't be sure of the outcome, you don't feel good about it. So it's that feeling of like dread, overwhelm, just feeling like, oh, like I'm not comfortable. So it might be something you have to do, or maybe an experience you're going to have. Like a lot of times when people travel someplace new and they don't know, how are we going to get from the airport to the hotel, or how is this going to look? Like some anxiety around new things, different things, things we're not in control of. Usually anxiety is connected to things where the outcome is uncertain. Whether it is a thing we have to do or something we're going to experience, that's what I tend to find, is that it's tied to that. So sometimes when you can tell yourself, too, we all have anxiety as like a human response to things. Like most people can relate to this idea of like having been in school and you have a big test coming up. And you feel like the feeling of like, oh, can I do it? Is it going to be hard? What's going to happen? Will I pass? Will I fail? Am I prepared? And usually, though, what anxiety does in those moments is it can help us, the adrenaline rush we get from preparing for something. Or like, here's another example, like a job interview. Many of us can relate to the feeling of like, I want to make a good impression. How will these people view me? What do I want to say? So we practice. We think about the words we're going to say, or for the test, we like study very hard. We try to get the information in our head. We show up in a different way And actually, our anxiety produces that adrenaline that allows us to show up in a certain way, to be more focused and more conscious. We're very aware that this is either high stakes, something new, something we care about. So it's not always like a bad thing. Sometimes you can say, oh, my body's preparing me for something. What I tend to think is, like, if you can keep anxiety in those pockets of like, oh, my anxiety helped me to prepare, to focus, and then let it go once the test is over, the job interview is over. But what we tend to do is, I call it stacking. You have anxiety from that thing, and then you stack on the next thing, which, for example, let's say you're going for a job interview. You get all anxious about it, and you prepare, and you answer the questions, and you finish. And instead of being like, okay, I did the best I could do, it's what it is, and I'll wait to see what happens, we stack onto that and be like, ooh, and we judge ourselves. Did I say that thing right? Was I wearing the right thing? Oh, what a stupid answer I gave. They probably didn't like what I said that. And so then we stack from the anxiety getting into judgment. And the problem is, when we stack it, then usually the judgment, it's never really in a good way. Judgment is always like, what's wrong with us, instead of what's right with us. And that's why I feel like it can stack from, I got prepared for my interview, to then everything I did wrong in my interview. Then you could stack it to everything that's wrong in my life and about me and what's wrong with me. How could I can't ever show up? And then you've just created this anxiety mountain that it's hard to be like, whew, come back down. And that's what I tend to see people do. You take what is good about anxiety, and instead of letting it go at the moment when it's ready to be released, you stack other things onto it. And that's when I think people could really use the idea of, what if we became curious instead of judgmental? What if we could shift from the stacking of the judgment piece to some curiosity? And also, I guess how that would look would be, I'm curious why I want to keep going in my anxiety. What is that feeding right now? I'm curious why I can't seem to let go of this. I'm curious why I need to know the outcome right away. I'm curious if I can be a little more patient with myself. I'm curious if I can just let be what is. Like, I did the interview, it's over. Now let's see. Like, so those kind of ways of thinking can really shift. Yeah. That, again, tends to tone down the anxiety rather than ramp it up and stack it up.
Yeah. Let me ask you about this, because, you know, what I'm fascinated by is how many times in our lives things show up. Like, you know, especially when we're doing something for the first time, and especially if it's physical, right? If it's a physical thing, you know, what is your experience with that? Do you find you feel strong in your physical abilities, or do you start to question yourself? Do you start to feel anxious about it?
Well, because, I think this is a really interesting thing for a lot of people, because I think you can divide people pretty evenly along. Do you feel confident intellectually or physically? Because some people will feel like, yeah, I can go ride that mountain bike. I can take that exercise. I can figure it out. And other people are like, I don't know how to clip on a bike, and I don't know. I've never done it, so I want to. And other people are like, can you take this course, give a speech, do something intellectual? Like, to me, it's funny where our lines get drawn. Some of us feel very confident doing physical-related things, and some feel confident doing intellectual more pursuits. And I know for me personally, my anxiety really ramps up in the physical realm of things more than in the intellectual realm of things.
And how so for you?
I feel like, so here's a quick example.
Yeah.
So recently, my daughter wanted to go rafting in front of hers, and the parents and everyone wanted to go rafting. And the thought of rafting was like, oh, I think I might like that. That could be okay. I rafted in the past when I was younger, and that was a pool. But somehow now it's like, I don't have a rafted in a long time. I don't really think I'll enjoy it as much. Like, I don't know. I got started feeling anxious. Can I do it physically? Am I going to be the heaviest one of the rafts? Will I fall out? If so, what will happen? And I created this whole story about, like, what will happen. And now I'm being in front of my daughter and her friends, and then will I be embarrassed? And so that kind of anxiety over trying something I haven't done in a while, and that requires a physical element, sent me off into an anxious path, which is funny, because if someone said, can you give a speech for 1,000 people? I'd be like, sure. And I wouldn't think twice. But most people, they'd be like, ah. So I thought what was funny, and during this experience, like, I noticed myself having to think through the things I would tell people when I help people with public speaking. I kind of talk about anxiety in this way. And in this rafting experience, I had to tell myself, because I was so anxious. I got sweaty palms. I felt sick in my stomach. I was obsessed with, like, am I going to flip out? Are we going to flip out of this raft? And if so, how do I save myself and my child? Like, just this narrative. And it was a beginner thing in a very reputable company. And if we fell out, intellectually, I knew that I can swim. I will go to shore. Someone will help me. But it didn't help my feelings. And sometimes when we have feelings about things, we try to diminish, like, why do I feel this way? I shouldn't feel this way. This is the wrong feeling. And instead of doing that, a lot of times I'll say to people and myself, feelings just are. They just exist. You shouldn't have to, like, justify them or deny them. Like, if you have a feeling, it's better to say, I'm feeling really anxious, rather than I shouldn't feel anxious, but I am. Right? Or this is the wrong feeling. Or just calm yourself down. Like, sometimes you have to say, wow, this is a big feeling for me. And how then is this related to this experience so that I can stay in the moment? And a lot of times when we feel anxious, what I think we do is we try to get out of the moment. We try to run away. And sometimes anxiety is telling us, hey, you're stepping out of your comfort zone. Hey, you're doing something new. Hey, you're doing something you haven't done in a long time, and you might not be great at it. It kind of ties in that perfectionist thinking, I better be good at everything I do. Yeah. What if I'm not? What if I do fall out? What if I'm the one lady that falls out this whole trip? You know, like, that could be me. And so the idea of being perfect and being a certain way, so it plays into all those things. And it's a great opportunity to also be like, hey, is this serving me right now? Is this really where I want to be? And so for me, that physical act of going on the rafting trip took so much mental energy to stay and not let my anxiety run the show, but also to recognize, hey, I'm feeling anxious for a reason, and how can I tie into my anxiety? Because really, what I think, when you think about anxiety, when you start to have it, you can look at a situation and do one of two things. Say, is this because I'm trying something new and it's the fear, or is it because this is actually dangerous and it's a danger for me and I'm super scared? And for the rafting trip, it was kind of a combo deal. But in real life, I knew I was fairly safe. But a lot of times what we do is we say anxiety comes up and we're like, fear, I shouldn't do it, versus fear, danger. You can ask yourself those questions, and if it's danger, don't do it.
Yeah.
But if it's fear, sometimes you say, how do I want to feel at the end of this experience? Why am I doing it in the first place? Or what opportunities ahead of me that if I face my anxiety, could it shift how I show up? Maybe I'll be proud of myself. Maybe I'll be relieved. Maybe I'll be like, yeah, I tried it. I did it. I'm great. I don't need to do it again. But I, like, didn't let my fear stop me from having an experience. So all those things kind of tie in to this idea of anxiety. And I don't know, like, you are, like, a more physical in the ping pong realm and doing things like that. But I wonder, are you more comfortable physically or intellectually? Like, what's your comfort zone and what's your anxiety zone?
I'm much more comfortable physically, because intellectually I struggle my entire life. In the current term, I'm learning different. So sitting down and taking an SAT or a GRE, that was never going to work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Testing, generalized testing, right? But I'm much more comfortable in the physical realm only because I've been able to achieve and improve, right, in the physical realm. There's not much around that gets to me. However, let's put the icing on the cake. I don't know who all watched the Wimbledon Women's Championship this weekend, but the ultimate winner, right, lost the first set 3-6. Now, it's Wimbledon. You're watching yourself play, and that's not just physical. That is multidimensional. So let's talk about this for a minute. There's physical, like me going and playing ping pong with Howard. Great. That's like ping pong with Howard. Then there's physical playing ping pong for a gold medal, right? Mm-hmm. And so the question really is, we know in our culture right now, you know, we know a couple of things. The statistics tell us. There's a generalized anxiety disorder, and that's a generalized one. And, you know, we're talking about 6-7 million people in the United States, about 3% of the population. But what you find interesting about that is they also say that women you know, the rate for women is higher. And, you know, I thought about, well, tell me more about that. What do I want to know about that? And then I saw the picture on the wall. I don't know how my stepmom dealt with marrying my dad and taking on a whole new family. I mean, here she was. And I thought about this because I thought about on every day how many occurrences will show up, Carrie, that will give us an opportunity to be anxious. Just saying.
Yes. I mean, well, you bring up a lot of different points I want to know between, like, when we show up, I think our days are full of that. And when you think about someone on TV doing a physical activity for sport where they want to win, you know, there's a level of anxiety that we feel when we watch the people, right? And also a level of putting yourself out there. I mean, some people say, like, I'm putting myself out there to be judged, essentially, to be watched, to be critiqued. And that produces a different level of anxiety that you have to think, can I live with that? Because the more you put yourself out there, the more judgment there is to be had. So in that example, I think that's a level of anxiety that a lot of people, when we're not in the public eye, we don't realize the people that are the stress that they're under. I think for your topic about women and anxiety, I think women, because we tend to, I feel like this is, I guess I'm going to make a general statement, but I think for me, I can speak for me as a woman, the idea of I better be beautiful, I better have a job that pays good money, I better take care of my kids, I better be able to cook, I better clean my house, I better have time for my friends, and good for my husband, I better like figure it all out. And then now on top of it, with the onslaught of regulations against our reproductive health care and our rights, like it's scary to be a woman today. Like I'm very anxious to look at my daughters and say, hey, you don't have the same rights that I had. Hey, you might have to decide where you live if you can have reproductive health care. I mean, my anxiety is sky high over that. And the idea that women are like, we're supposed to be so many things. I always think about the, I think it was Anjali. It's a commercial for, I can bring home the bacon, fry it up. And I'll never let you forget you're a man because I'm a woman. And I was like, oh my God, is that what it means to be a woman? And I do think we set ourselves up for that. Like when we see those commercials, and I was a little girl when I saw that, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a woman today? And I think the anxiety that we feel around doing it right, being perfect, and I know keeping like ideals of beauty and sexiness and then intellect and then hard work and then success, and it's all mixed up and you're supposed to be everything. And it's hard also in a society that I haven't heard anyone use this term dad guilt, but I've heard plenty of people use the term mom guilt. And now we're supposed to be guilty if we're not the perfect mom. So just add that as a layer. If you happen to be a mother, on top of being a woman, if you're a mom, then just add the layer of mom guilt. So the anxiety, I would say that's pretty generalized, is huge based on gender and roles and things like that. So I would add that to the mix for sure.
Well, let's talk about one of my favorite things. But for those of you just tuning in, I want to let everybody know you're listening to Get Big Out Loud with Carrie Knutson, Living the Complex, Funny, and Beautiful Ride of Life. Now, before we talk about one of my love-hate relationship words, how do people find out about you? Tell us what you're up to, because you just made a little shift, too.
Yes, so you can find out about me at knutsonspeaks.com. That's KNUTSON speaks.com. And I do presentations, coaching. I have a one-woman show that's coming back in the fall. It's going to be exciting. And I do a lot of work virtually now because of the pandemic, which has been amazing, a shift for sure that caused a great deal of anxiety when it first happened. And I also recently left my school therapy job to pursue speaking, consulting, and training full-time so I can do more of this work. And I'm really excited and anxious. I think you can hold those two things about the changes, but that's how you can find me.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things here is that we're going to take a short break right now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, for me, my love-hate relationship with a particular word. When somebody says this word to me or asks me this question, sometimes I just want to crawl in the hole with the groundhog out here. When we come back, you're all going to find out what this word does to people. It's a simple word. It has three letters. Sometimes it's a great word to use because we're in search. But what is it about this one word that can put the anxiety, literally the anxiety cherry on the top of your hot fudge sundae? Take a short break. Benny, if we could, everybody, we'll be right back with Carrie Knutson.
Brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Are you having difficulty feeling at home in your own home? Join Annette Rigolo and Dr. Pat in Enlightened Environments, Optimizing from the Outside In, as they present a deep dive into the various vibrations of the earth, along with man-made energies that impact our lives. Using the Diamond Dowsing Method, we will utilize specific vibrations to elevate our own homes to support us and expand us with their energy. Join us every third Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to make your home, home.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling, is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
What could you achieve if you knew someone was going to ask about your progress every week? Accountability matters. Small corrections and check-ins with your goals can lead to big results in your business without you feeling overwhelmed. Success Magnified owner Mary Gall provides entrepreneurs a system of goal setting and accountability to create clarity about where you are now, your future direction, and the most effective way to get there. Book your free call at successmagnified.com today.
Take control over your future. I'm Lisa Belt, and I'm here to help you realize your true potential and become unshakable. Schedule a completely free introductory coaching session with me now to see for yourself how I work. Get the divine guidance that you need to transform your life for the better. Go to lisabelt.com and take that step towards transformation. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace. Every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Welcome back. Carrie Knutson joining me here today. Carrie, before we go and talk about that three-letter word, that word that it which shall not be named for the moment, again, tell people how they can work with you, find out more about you, your coaching, all of the above.
Yeah, you can find me at KnutsonSpeaks.com. On there, on my webpage, you can find out information about presentations, coaching, my show, hiring me for different things. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. And it's what's been so exciting about doing the show is people that reach out to be like, hey, can you do this? Or, hey, I'm interested in this topic. So what I love about, in addition to speaking about emotional intelligence, I speak about so many other topics, some that I touch on a lot in the show. And so I appreciate the reach that has the people reach out. If you want something custom or you want some kind of coaching, I'm always open to talking about that.
But isn't emotional intelligence directly tied in to our topic today on anxiety, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So you know what that three-letter word is? It's why. And I think why is one of the most fascinating words, not just because of a word, but because of what it has come to mean and not mean. You know, there's why out of curiosity, right? Why is the ice melting in the North Caps? I mean, those are things where you get under and you want to discover it. But then there's why, right? There's the question of why that we use on ourselves, and we get stuck in the ruminating of the why. I have a friend right now who is so stuck in the why. She is so stuck in her why that she cannot get to her what or how.
Yes, and I love that you bring up the three-letter word of why, because why is a double-edged sword for things, because sometimes, like you say, why can be a curious statement and lead us into that direction. But the other side of why is a sticking point that a lot of times people don't realize they're comfortable in the why, because it keeps them from the how or the what they're going to do or the action they're going to take. Sticking in the why, it's an uncomfortable, comfortable moment where, like, if I can just figure out why, then magically everything will change. And sometimes you should get out of the why. You should. Sometimes it doesn't matter. Also, I'd say why is a form of judgment. Why do I feel this way and you don't? Why are you good at this and I'm not? Why am I anxious over this thing and you seem to be just fine? Why? And then when we do that, again, the heaviness of judgment sets in, but also procrastination, because sometimes it takes a while to sort it out, and sometimes there's no answer. Or no productive answer. Sometimes I'll say to people, if you knew why, would it change? If you knew why, would it make you take action? If you knew why, would any outcome be different? And sometimes, like, especially when we're anxious, and I'll just say, I use this a lot with people that I help with public speaking. A lot of people don't get anxious over public speaking because it's an anxiety-producing event. Most people, like, don't like to speak in public. Most people don't like to get up in front of people. Most people fear, like, the judgments or the look, or they get clammy, or what am I going to say? And their body and their mind they're not, like, walking into that, like, yeah, this is a normal thing that I just would love to do. That's why a lot of people need help with it. But when I work with people, I don't try to stay in the why. Why does this make you uncomfortable? Because you're human. Because we're complex. Because for this isn't your comfort zone. But then why can you go, like, I work with someone who was a computer programmer of some sort of coder. I didn't even understand what they did. And I was like, well, what if I said, why can you do that? And I don't even understand it. And they had to give a toast. And they just wanted to give a toast to this event and make it. But I'm like, what if we wasted all our time of, like, why are you scared to give a toast? And why can't I code? Who cares? Like, it's the complexity of our human experience. Why was I scared? Here's just to go back to the rafting thing real quick.
Yeah.
On the rafting trip, there were so many different experiences to that trip. There was someone who was totally excited. There was someone who was so energized by it. And what's funny is you can see on the picture, like, there's a picture of, like, at some point that they took. I'm like this. I'm clenched up. I'm holding the paddle. I'm super nervous. My daughter's, like, looking at a friend chatting. The other friend's, like, chatting away. And then the other mom is, like, super, like, look at me, I'm rafting. And I look at that picture. It's a perfect example of, like, all of us living this very human experience in our complex, beautiful ways. Some people will enjoy something. Some people will hate it. Some people will think it's life-affirming. Some people will be like, I never want to do that again. And the rafting trip, I think, was such a good example for me of that was purely physical endeavor that created a lot of stuff in my mind. And if I would have wasted so much time, like, why can't I get over this? Why don't I just, and then also another thing around why is we try to rationalize it. And we say things that try to rationalize, like, you shouldn't be scared. You're a good swimmer. You're okay. This is safe, whatever. But then inside you're like, why am I still scared then? So again, I think you have to use your mind to say, hey, this situation makes me anxious. I'm not exactly sure why, or maybe here's kind of why I think why, but I'm not going to stick in the why, because what's at the end of this experience that I could hope for? And also, how can I keep from judging myself? And I'll say this too. It's interesting that a lot of times when people work with, like people are afraid, a lot of people are afraid to go to the dentist. Like they have anxiety around dentists. And
oh, my dad. Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, I watched my dad like go through years of pain. And I'm like, Dad, go to the dentist. You could not get him in the dentist chair.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean, it's not to really judge that. That was real for him. And I think that's part of what we do too, especially when we are asking somebody their why.
Yes.
Like, why aren't you doing that? I mean, we think because it's easy for us and we don't learn to empathize.
Yes, that's exactly where I'm going. That's
go get them. Go get them. Because I can get on a motorcycle. Benny and I, in the day, not now, but I could get on a motorcycle and put on those leather pants and get on that motorcycle and put on that knee pad and drive around a track in a circle, like a lot of times, and be in the happiest moment of my life. And the people that watch, they are there biting their fingernails or drinking tequila because they're so anxious just to watch, right? But go ahead.
Yeah, you know? But that's the whole thing. Look at all these experiences you're saying, like motorcycle riding, the dentist, crafting. All those things, if you stay in the why, and then you would get judgy either with ourselves or let's say something's easy for us, and we're like, why can't you just do it? It's easy for me. You touched on exactly where I'm going. We have to use our emotional intelligence to cultivate empathy for ourselves when we're in the anxiety situation, the situations that provoke anxiety, and also for others. Just because you can go to the dentist and not have a problem doesn't mean everyone else can. So when you dismiss people like, why, you're just sitting in a chair, it's not our rational minds that are in charge at this moment. If it were, then we could just say, like, here's what to do. But when the feeling comes is when I think we need the most empathy, to be like, wow, these feelings are coming up for me. How do I want to manage them? Because we want to manage them in the moment, and then we want to look towards the outcome that we want. So is the outcome that we want for the dentist, like, I need to figure out a way to manage my feelings and my anxiety in this moment rather than get stuck in the why. Like, how do I need to manage this appointment so I can get through it so that I can, like, have healthy teeth and not have cavities? Or when you think about, to me, like, if you want to give a speech and you're scared, like managing whatever comes up for you, because it looks very different, to be like, why are you giving the speech? What's the point of putting yourself out there? What do you hope to be at the end of this, right? And when you think about going rafting, and I thought, like, who do I want to be at the end of? Do I want to spend time with my daughter in this way? Do I want to try something? Do I want to let my anxiety win, or do I want to try? Like, who do I want to be at the end of this? Might I be proud of myself? But the idea of managing our anxiety is so important because it looks different for all of us. And if you get stuck in the why, or I shouldn't, or nobody else feels this way, you really limit your options. Because when you have some empathy for yourself to be, I'm not sure why this is making me anxious, but it is. Here's the feelings that are coming up for me. Here's my physical emotions that are coming up for me. If you can rationalize some things, like I did in the rafting thing, I'm most likely safe. People are going to help me if I fall. That's helpful. But also for me, the idea is, can you stay in the moment of why you're there in the first place? Not the why of your anxiety. Why did you want to do this in the first place? Or why is this important to you? Like when you take a test, usually you want to have the outcome of passing the test, the class, or it's part of the expectation. And when you do a job interview, you would like to get a job, and it's part of the game we play to get there. So you're thinking, I want to do well on this so I can have the outcome that I want, which is the new job. And so I feel like the empathy you can have first for yourself when you're feeling anxious, not getting stuck in why, but being like, I'm feeling these things. This is real for me. How do I want to manage it? And so what tools do I have to manage it? And then how also can I then take action and not let the anxiety, the kind of idea that I talk about, just because you're feeling anxious, doesn't mean it's wrong. Same as, like, is it dangerous? Don't do it. Is it anxiety producing? Maybe explore it. And that's the complexity of our human experience, because if we put 10 people in a room and listed a bunch of things that make people anxious, we get 10 different answers. And you'd be like, why are you, this is easy for me. How come you can't? And then the judgment game goes on. And
crazy.
So I don't think it's worthwhile to say
well,
that. Why?
It's not. But don't you find, too, especially in the work you do when you're helping people, you know, first of all, we have to witness people, right? So one of the worst things that somebody could say, especially like you're talking to friend and family, right, is, oh, you don't feel like that. It's just, it's easy. Don't feel like that. You know, don't, right?
Oh, yeah, you don't feel that way or calm down. That's not how you feel. Well, you're overreacting. This isn't, like, denying other people, denying how we
exactly.
feel.
Exactly.
Like, it's very minimized.
If you grow up with a whole life of that, you need to get some help. See, this is part of the work that you do with people because you help people through this. This is not, anxiety is not the kind of thing, and this is me talking now, it is not the kind of thing that you just think you're going to put away. It doesn't go away. And so, but you have to get with a person that can help you with that. And your experience in emotional intelligence and coaching platform, you're able to help people get through that. Because it is the key for me between the things in my life that I never thought I would be able to do and was able to do, right? Linda's dad was one of my greatest mentors when it came to doing things physically. This is a man that chainsaw in the garage, great with wood, would build things. I'm a kid from the Bronx, and he says to me, I want you to cut this 12-foot, quarter-inch round molding. I need to take off a 16th of an inch. What? What? Like, can I take the 12 feet and chunk it down into, like, can I cut it? And I watched him coach me and mentor me, you know, putting this 12-foot piece of wood on a table saw and moving it up with an ice pick. And all the time I'm doing it, what do you think he's saying to me? Do you think he's saying, now don't screw that up, Pat? You know, oh my God, look, you're getting right. No. He's like, just go nice and slow. That's the difference between getting help to help yourself, isn't it?
Yes. And I think the point of getting help to help yourself, whatever way that looks, getting help to help yourself might be the way you start to think about your anxiety. The next level might be getting connected to people that can support you through it instead of questioning you, like help give you strategies or help support you or help make you feel like you can do it. Another way is to go get professional help for your anxiety and say like, hey, I feel like I need more help than my friends and family can give because I need to talk about this in a more clinical way. And having the grace to do that because sometimes we can handle things just fine on our own and sometimes we need help. And I love the idea of the kind of help you get. Like, is it supportive? Is it loving? Is it encouraging? Is it about you having an experience versus having you do it perfectly? And that's the kind of thing when I think about anxiety and what helps calm people down, usually it's some kind of plan to say, like, I'm going to try this and then I have support. So, like, if you're anxious about going to the dentist and you have some kind of plan to be like, oh, my anxiety is coming up for my dental appointment. What's my plan of the, I think the idea of like what matters to you and what you can control is the thing you should focus on. There's a lot of things that are out of your control, but a lot of times if we have a plan to say like these feelings are coming up to me. So when I feel queasy in my stomach, do I do a deep breathing exercise? Does my dentist know my fears and are they going to take some extra time to go slow with me? Right? Do I wear headphones so I don't have to hear as much? Do I have a friend with me and someone holds my hand? What do I do to tangibly help me? And that's like, you know, that's thing in like the dentist, but my realm of experience is people who are scared to speak. And a lot of times if we have a plan for their speech, there's an element of the anxiety that comes up, but that you can also say, I'm going to focus on what I can control. And what I can control right now is staying in the moment, using my breath, knowing my content, realizing I've practiced, knowing I don't have to be perfect, and having someone there to support me or who knows the journey. A lot of times, what you're talking about is so beautiful because someone who's beside you being like, you can do it. Let's try this. or I can help you, or it's okay, or I understand this is hard, or it's new. Like that voice either in your own head or by someone loving beside you that says it's okay helps us step into who we want to be, helps us step into it. Because a lot of the things that you said, a lot of things that cause you anxiety have propelled you, right? And a lot of times in our lives, the anxiety comes from, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I'm the right person. I don't know how. And we stay in that place rather than like, I'm going to take action towards my goals. I'm going to manage my anxiety so I can take action. I'm going to enlist people who can support me in loving ways because I can't do it by myself.
Yeah.
Okay. That to me is all forward moving. Whereas if I stay in like, I'm anxious, so I'm not going to do it. Or I'm going to avoid this thing because it makes me anxious. Or I'm never going to try. And then you spend your life being like, I wish I would have given that speech. I wish I would have gone on that rafting trip. I wish I would have said yes to this opportunity. So that's so kind of where it lays, like, or lies, I guess, where it lies.
Well, but don't you feel that people need to get help when they're in a stuck place? I mean, it's never really been, for me in my life, have I been able to really bulldozer my way through some stuff? You bet. Because it was a survival thing. And I didn't have coaches. But today, no. I work with 5 different coaches because I know me and I know what will cause me to procrastinate. I also know what will cause me to overthink. I also know that if without a strong spiritual foundation, I'm doomed. I mean, I know that, but it's taken a lot of years for me to get there. And that's what I want to ask you. Sometimes we cannot figure out the situation ourselves. Sometimes when you're in that boat, say, I need to call somebody. I got to call Carrie. You have to get to the point where you feel so good about yourself or good enough about yourself that you're worth it, that you get some help. Because sometimes we cannot bulldoze our way through a solid steel lead 10-foot wall.
Yes, especially of anxiety. And that's so beautiful because there's my philosophy. There's a lot of things we can get through on our own. There's tons, but a lot of times also there's things that we can't without the help of others. And when you can say to yourself, hey, I could use some help with this. Hey, I'm not figuring this out on my own the way I want to. Hey, someone else might know better. Someone else may be able to help me. That is a beautiful moment of saying we need each other. And it's not a judgment that we can't be everything. We can't bring home the bacon fried up in a pan. Like, I'm supposed to be all things to all people all the time. Sometimes we do need to say, I'm not sure how to handle this. Do you have an idea? Or, hey, you seem to work in this way. Can you help me? And having coaches or going to a therapist, I think is the most radical, beautiful act of self-care that you can do. To say, like, I'm ready to step into new parts of my life, and I might need some help to get there. And finding someone who can do that in a way that works with you is so great. That's why I think, like, that's to me the magic of a coaching situation, or when someone, to me, especially with helping people give speeches, that when they call after they gave their speech and they're like flying, right? Because they did the thing and you see like, wow, you just busted through that steel door of your anxiety to achieve something that you probably couldn't have done on your own. But with some support and love and kindness and empathy and strategy, you can do it. And that's the thing. All of us need different things at different times. That's why we're so complex. We don't operate in the same way. We're not scared of the same things. We have different skill sets, and the world needs that. So when we can even recognize, hey, everybody's here for a different reason and those different skill sets, we're not supposed to be the same. Again, that, if we can leave that judgment by the door and say, hey, I'm going to leave that judgment here. I'm going to look at my anxiety and kind of reality test it against danger. And then I'm going to see, can I get through this myself? Do I need support? And if so, how? Because what's on the other side? What's on the other side of that for me? If I don't ignore this or let it completely debilitate me or stop me, what's on the other side of that that could really move your life forward in a powerful and important way?
You know, and I think this really leads to a couple of points I think you want to help people with today. And they, you know, we've said them over and over again, and I was one of the skeptics, you know, on a couple of these things that we're about to talk about. One are, how do we think? How can we use our breath? You know, these simple things. How do we focus on the moment we're in? You know, it's fascinating because you're at the most prestigious tennis game in the world, Wimbledon, some people call it. And you just got yourself crushed by the underdog, so to speak. And you're thinking, what? Am I going to make adjustments? Am I going to change? What am I going to do? But see, that's just one example. Every day in our lives, we are faced with situations. Right now, people are faced with situations in their workplaces, with their bosses, with their coworkers, with facing COVID, with having to go into work, really not being able to go. I mean, there are so many things. So what are some of the things that we can leave with people, some of the tips we can leave people here in the last couple of minutes? And then the other thing is I want to say to people right now, don't downplay your anxiety. Pick up the phone and call Carrie. Just acknowledge that this is where you are and get some help, right? But what are some of the things you can help people with now?
Yes. Well, and I think, too, call a therapist. Or call somebody who can help you. Yeah. Call me if I can be of help. But, yeah, definitely don't think that you have to live with it. Because, again, I feel like that's part of, like, I should be able to do everything on my own. And just this is part of our society today that we live with this anxiety. No, we don't. We don't have to. It's limiting. A lot of this is limiting our ability to really not only experience life, but to share our gifts and do the things we're supposed to do. So I just want to second what you're saying is like, this is not something we should have to live with. This is something we should figure out how to manage our day to day. And if we have an extreme level of anxiety that's keeping us from doing the things we want to do, there's plenty of help available. I think the idea of like, I should go get it. If I need some support, I should get it. So my ideas, I'll give you a few ideas that I wrote down that I think are helpful when dealing with day to day anxiety. When it kind of pops up, these are the things that I use that I think are helpful. One of the big things is staying in the moment and not letting your mind race past, like, what's going to happen? How's it going to work? What will happen? Like, all the unknowns. If you can stay in the moment, like, right now, I'm doing this thing, whatever it is, I'm staying in this moment. And part of that, I find that grounds yourself is taking a full breath. So because a lot of times we start to shallow breathe when we get anxious, and stopping to be like, I'm going to take a full breath. I'm going to let that re-energize my body, and I'm going to refuse to let my mind race off. I'm going to stay in the moment, even if that moment is scary. I'm going to stay in the moment that I'm in rather than racing towards the future of what might happen. So staying in the moment. And then I think also the idea of like don't letting yourself off the hook. Because a lot of times when we get scared, then we say, I'm going to give up. I'm not going to try because I'm scared. And if you think about the idea of letting yourself off the hook, how many times have you been like, oh, I won't do this because I'm scared, or I won't do this because it's not the right time, or I can't, or whatever. And what we don't remember in those moments is, how do I want to feel when I'm done? Like, why is this opportunity even here for me? Is this anxiety an invitation to step in? And if I constantly let myself off the hook from trying, or is it like the idea that it has to be perfect or I won't do it? And I think for myself, I had never done a virtual presentation before the pandemic. And I was so upset about having to try and do it, and made me so anxious and all this stuff. And now I've worked through the anxiety to such an extent. I'm like, when someone calls, I'm like, hey, do you want to pre-record? I say it like it's nothing, like whatever. And I think about, wow, what if I had stayed and you're like, I'm not doing any virtual. I'm never going to do virtual. Oh. Like, where would that have left me, right? So the idea of, like, you got to ask yourself, don't let myself off the hook. Like, that's part of your self-thought that can, I think, is, why did I sign up for this in the first place? Will I feel proud when I'm done? What's the outcome? What am I going towards? And then also remembering your purpose. So sometimes when things bring up anxiety, we forget the purpose in the first place, not just to create anxiety, like to have teeth that function, to do the thing we said we wanted to do, to pass the test so we can get our degree, to get the job we were hoping for. Whatever the thing is, what's the purpose? It's not just random. Like, usually there's a greater purpose, and sometimes in our anxiety we forget that. So I'd say remembering your purpose, why am I here in the first place, is really vital to doing that. And then also finding something to ground you, to keep you there. So I'm remembering the bigger picture, but I'm grounding myself in this moment. And you may have to, sometimes people pick a word or a phrase, or they may like touch, like sometimes when people are giving a speech to ground themselves, they say, just touch your thigh as you're speaking and tap it.
Yes.
To be here. Like, and sometimes you need a physical reminder that you're here. So a lot of times with speaking clients, they'll be like, tap your leg once or do a certain movement in a shift to and make it very predictable or something like I'm actively thinking about doing this. And so sometimes that grounds you in the moment. For me on the rafting trip, it was like, I'm just paddling me. I'm going to listen and paddle. The paddle is grounding me to this activity, right? So sometimes you have to do things and you're like, oh, that's silly. Like, but it works. Staying in the moment that you're in, because a lot of times we escape. We try to escape with our thoughts. And the thoughts usually make us more anxious than what is actually happening. Because how many times have you felt like, whoops, you're worried about something in the future, and it doesn't, it's not half as bad as you predicted it would be. But you spend a lot of time worrying about it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, and what we're talking about is, I mean, we've heard the expression, and actually this expression has actually happened to me. You know, if you fall off the horse, get back up on it. And I used to love horseback riding as a kid. And I was very fortunate in living in New York to be able to go to Bangkok and Portland Park. But I remember moving to Jersey and going out on a trail, hadn't ridden in a while, and thought, you know, take myself, and I got thrown. And, you know, you have that moment where what just happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was trained if you can get yourself under control and calm down and not be a fear, you will get back on the horse. But if you can't do that, that is an expression or an energy horses love. They can pick up the scent of fear. And when that happened to me, I was in the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, okay, I'm either going to calm myself down and get back on his horse, or we're going to have to walk, like, I don't know, like up and down the hill. And I'm like, but that's an example. I mean, getting to that place, almost like, yeah, my butt hurt.
Okay.
I'm going to get back up on the horse.
Oh, and most people even use that term, get back on the horse, because that's one of the scariest things they can imagine, right? Getting thrown and getting back on, that is the part, and that's the beautiful piece of courage. And that's the last piece I want to tie into this. I feel like there's a piece of anxiety that exists over here, and then there's also courage over here. And when you can see that those two can play together and be like, I can be anxious and have courage. I can be anxious and feel overwhelmed about something, and I can use my courage to show up and my empathy to support it. And those things can play together. And it's beautiful. Like, I love that you use that phrase, get back on the horse, because a lot of times when we don't, that's when regret starts. Or that's also when the story of, I just can't do this, why? And I call it, you know, playing to your weaknesses. And then there's a big old excuse. I got thrown once and it didn't work. Or in your life, I got up and gave a speech once and it wasn't great, so I'm not going to do it again. I had a bad experience with a dentist, so I'm never going again. I had this. I have a test anxiety, so then because I have test anxiety, I don't have to try. Like, we letting ourselves off the hook. Like, okay, now I don't have to try. And that piece of, I love that, like, taking action, getting back on the horse, that's a beautiful thing to say. Cause
that's right.
What helps us.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this is all tied into your work. Carrie, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for bringing a topic to the forefront that is on everybody's mind. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And I hope, too, that if you take anything away from today, it's the idea of all of us are super complex and why we feel anxious, but we don't have to live with ongoing anxiety.
You have been listening to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will help you to know which thoughts are keeping you small in order for you to get big. Get big and live your life out loud. For more information, visit KnutsonSpeaks.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. Well, good thing, folks, so far, no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. We do still have some slowing on 405 northbound just after the Newcastle area through the I-90 heading into Bellevue. But everywhere else, traffic's actually looking pretty good, and we hope you enjoy a great sunny afternoon. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and learn the codes that unlock the meaning of the cards with special guests Liz Dean and Tarot by Numbers.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden says the U.S. faces a moral choice in confronting rampant gun violence.
Will we take wise steps to fulfill the responsibility to protect the innocent? And while keeping faith with the constitutional rights, will we match thoughts and prayers with action?
Biden hosted a White House event celebrating the bipartisan gun safety bill he recently signed into law. He said lives will be saved today and tomorrow because of this. He also labeled it a call to action to do more. First Lady Jill Biden is in San Antonio today speaking at the largest gathering of Latino advocates in the nation. The luncheon includes a panel led by Dr. Teresa Granillo, which focused on early childhood education and mental health services.
What are we doing to support mental health not only of our children, but also the teachers?
The debate over mental health is a spotlight after the Uvalde school shooting. Instead of banning high-powered rifles, Republicans have focused on getting more help on campuses. In the past, the First Lady has spoken about the difficulties in finding resources. Jaylen Walker's family is expected to speak with reporters this afternoon. The family's legal team says they're asking for the city of Akron, Ohio, to stop blaming Jaylen for what they called the horrific and unjustified shooting that took his life. Walker was shot dozens of times by police following an attempted traffic stop last month. Who has the most diamonds? Well, chart diamonds. Liz Warner has details.
Imagine Dragons making history with their latest achievement. Their 2017 single, Thunder, has been officially certified diamond by the RIAA, making them the band with the most diamond-certified songs in history. They're now tied with Bruno Mars for the artist with the most diamond-certified singles overall. The band's other top-performing singles include Radioactive, Believer, and Demons.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly sunny skies today. High temperatures, not too bad, around 83, 84 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with some patchy fog rolling back in. Low temperatures back down to about 61. For Tuesday, that fog will hang around, but making way to sunny skies yet again. High temperatures around 83. Increasing clouds for Tuesday night. Lows back down to about 57. For Wednesday, Thursday, and for Friday, more sunshine expected. High temperatures a little cooler, but still hovering in the mid to upper 70s. Shaping up to be a pretty nice week.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I am just so excited about Liz. Liz Dean joining us here today. Tarot by Numbers, learning the codes that unlock the meaning of the cards. See, this is what fascinates me. I love being a student. And I just absolutely love when someone like Liz comes on, you know, who is tarot reader, best-selling author, teacher, you know, her books, some of her books are The Ultimate Guide to Tarot,
or tarot, whatever it is you say, how you pronounce them. Or more than that, whenever you look at this particular body of knowledge and wisdom you have, and then do what she has done to take a look at it and see about this beautiful matrix, these interactions of what happens when you look at something like numbers, and then you look at something like tarot, and you put them together, and you start to think about how about our intuitive abilities, right? How does that all come together? And now you help people understand the multi-layered dimensions of everyday life. But how? How do we learn this? And this is the problem, because for many of us, learning tarot has been overwhelming. And then I get to have a conversation like the one I'm having now, and I get to bring an expert on, because now we're going to get down to it. So have you all wondered about, well, wait a minute, you know, great, I'm working with the cards, I'm working with the deck, but what about my birthday? What about working with the deck, and then how about the launch of our new network? What does the date mean? Should we look at that? Here we go. Get ready for all of the above, because we're going to have some fun with my very special guest and Benny. We have three copies of the book to give away today as well. Liz, it's great to have you.
Oh, it's amazing to be here, Dr. Pat. Amazing. It's just such a joy to meet with you. I'm really looking forward to our time together today. And just before we start properly, I pulled some cards about our conversation today.
Did you?
And I just thought, I wonder what Dr. Pat would like to know. And and I pulled up this card. This is a Page of Pentacles, which is, she loves to learn. It's all about learning. And you said that within your first sentence. And I was like, yeah, here we are, spot on.
Yeah, I do love to learn. And, you know, and people have asked me, why are you so hungry to learn? And it's an interesting question. But I think it's because I grew up with a learning disability. You know, I grew up as a kid that stuttered. I was a little bit different than most of the kids in school. I couldn't read words. I saw pictures. So you don't pass any tests if you can't read and give an answer, but you can draw the picture, right? They didn't take pictures back then as answers. Mm. But it never stopped me from wanting to learn. It never stopped me from wanting to learn. And yet I will tell you that I am also one of these people that you wrote this book for. Because there are some things that I can grasp, and there are some things like in your book, you know, Tarot by Numbers, that it just fascinates me. Can I have you answer this question? See, sometimes we approach life as unidimensional, like one dimension. Mm-hmm. But when you start to deal with things like tarot and you start to deal with numerology, they're not singular. A lot of times they have multiple layers on top of layers. And I got that sense that that was a significant meaning to writing the book you wrote.
Absolutely, yes. And that's a brilliant question, actually. Because, you know, as you said, life is multi-layered. You know, we have also different realms of consciousness in which we operate. And a tarot card, in a sense, is a symbol of our life experience. It has multiple layers and many, many meanings. And the issue with this is that when we first dive into tarot, and I love writing and working with new students, with beginners, people who have the fascination but don't know where to start, they get overwhelmed. Absolutely overwhelmed with all the books and the YouTube videos, and I've got to learn about astrology, I've got to learn about Kabbalah, oh, and I don't understand what the color symbolism is, and how am I going to remember the meanings of 78 cards, right? And then it struck me, you know, the common denominator here is the number. It's the number on the card. Because we all relate to numbers. Now, I am a little bit sort of number dyslexic. I really struggled with math in school. I was great with words. I couldn't do it. I can't subtract an odd number, even if you asked me to. I just couldn't do it. So I always had a bit of a block. I never really looked at the numbers too much when I was reading, you know? And when I was first reading, I'd sit there with my sister, and we put the cards on the bed, you know, and I was quite young. And then we'd say, oh, I don't understand that card. Let's get the book out. And we'd stop. And we'd start reading the meaning, and then we'd put the book down and go back to the reading. I had no idea that as a visual person, we're all highly visual, we could just look at a card, see the number, and see the number of the symbol that opens the door. It opens the door to our intuition and all this amazing realm of possibilities, because numbers have energy. And we all respond to numbers. You know, we've got the lucky seven. You know, 13 is unlucky at dinner because it's associated with death. And indeed, 13 is the number of the death card in tarot. So we already have an emotional response to number. And my feeling was, well, let's use that. Let's show people by just looking at the number of a card, you can learn a lot. And all you need is to get the door open, you know, to go, what does 10 mean to me? Well, 10 is like 10 fingers. But kind of set, isn't it? There's something complete about counting from 1 to 10. So, okay, so that's fullness. There's something getting complete with this card. Mm-hmm. And that gives you your lead in.
Yeah. I love that in your book you come out, and I didn't know this. I think you have something where you said that there's an Italian deck, right? Back to, yes. What was it, 15th century or something, I think you said. They were unnumbered, right?
Yeah, they were unnumbered. How about that? They were all hand-painted, gold-embossed cards that were commissioned. One of the primary decks set by the Duke of Milan in northern Italy. And so these are pieces of art, and they were also a family album. Some of the Duke's family actually appeared in the cards as characters. So they were not used in that form for any kind of card games or any kind of fortune telling. It was only later on, when you had the printing press, that you had to have some idea of sequence. Otherwise, how are you going to print a deck of cards and put it together and sell it, you know? And then over time, the numbering of the cards did kind of swim and it evolved, and that now we have a pretty much an agreed structure of number. But they didn't exist in the original.
I love being able to talk about this, and we're going to really get into it. We've got our callers already calling in, 1-800-930-2819. Get your questions ready. Look, from as young as I can remember, and I don't know why, but it's also my birthday. I didn't put it together. Honestly, I didn't understand why the number 11 was so important to me. And what I mean by that is every jersey I wear, everything has got to be 11. It's everything's got to be 11. And it's my 11 is the day I was born, December 11th, right? And so, but there's this fascination with it, but not because it feels so natural. Linda's number is 18. So anytime we've played a lot of softball, Linda schedules is our producer, but we're also best friends. Anytime we're out, we're like, we're playing the team, but she has to get number 18, I have to get number 11. I mean, if you want us to play on your team, she's got to be at your 18, I got to be 11. And I don't really understand the energy of that. I mean, it was almost like, for me, unlucky if I couldn't wear number 11 on a jersey. Well, the good news is I always got number 11. But see, that is an intuitive thing that somebody like me doesn't quite fully understand. But after reading your book, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. There's more to just the number, isn't there?
There is. There's the energy of the number and the number and its original meaning. So in numerology, 11 is seen as one of the special numbers. You know, it's a kind of higher dimension number. And for some people, it represents an alignment, intuition, being connected, oneness. And when you have that number, a lot of people take notice of this in terms of time. A lot of students that I work with are going, why am I keep seeing 11, 11 on the clock all the time?
Yes.
And wake up to something, start looking for the signs, looking for the signs. And when we get those signs, it's not enough for me just to look at the number. It's okay, now I need to start noticing what else is around me, yeah? Because we often get people that will come up to us and give us the information we need. What we need to hear that day, and they may be strangers. I call them incarnated or half-incarnated earth angels. So they're people that may come in the body of a random guy at a bus stop, No, the post guy. It's someone in a store who happens to say something to you, and it's like they don't even realize they've said it, and that's exactly what you needed to hear. And 1111 for me is about listen out for that. You are being guided.
Yeah.
And in the tarot, if we look at 11, it's actually the number on the High Priestess card. The High Priestess is number 2, but because this is Roman numerals, it appears as an 11.
Right.
Which is the card of intuition. The High Priestess is the divine feminine. It is the card of secrets, the walker between worlds, the psychic, the knower, the holder of higher wisdom. It's also connected with femininity, the moon, the unconscious. Everything that we need to feel we want to express in this lifetime and that we struggle with, because there's one part of us that's going, oh, you don't want to do that. Oh, that's not a good idea. And yet the High Priestess self is going, please listen to me.
Yes.
I've got a lot of information here, you know. So it can be that prompt to listen to yourself. You know, when you get that 11, it can be saying, hang on, stop listening to everything else that's going on around you. You know best. You know best on this.
Boy, I'll tell you, we're going to talk about this a lot more. First of all, I love the book, and I love the way you've laid this out, because, you know, I did grow up learning different. So, you know, like your relationship with math, you know, I too have something similar. And yet at the same time, there's something very intuitive about this. But the way you've written this book and how clear and easy you've made it for us to look at this and understand it, I mean, we're going to get into it. I want to go to the phones and take one of our callers. And then I want to get back to the card you pulled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, about that. Because, look, I have a corporate career before owning this network. And went from the mailroom to a corporate HR executive. And in the last 4 years of being in the company for almost 25 years, and I was an executive, every performance review by different people said, she is like amazing, but we think she's on another planet. And I used to take that as criticism, and today, yay. Betty, we have a caller, Pat from Connecticut. Do we want to bring Pat on? We want to get some, energy going here.
Pat, go ahead. You're there.
Hey, Pat, welcome to the show.
Thank you. This is fascinating, and I love the combination of numbers with tarot. I had two numbers in my tarot and my birth chart. Now I can't remember. One's a chariot. What are the numbers? Can I give you my birthday?
I feel like I'd be able to help you, because if you have the chariot.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. We'll get you that.
Let me just
maybe the world and the chariot.
You know a lot about this. My goodness, I'm like, I just love this, because now I'm learning how amazing again our audience is.
It's the tower and the chariot. That would be your other birth card, yeah?
No, not the tower.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Okay. Some of us don't like the tower. Okay. Okay. If you just give me your date of birth, let's see if I can do a quick calculation.
7/12/1953. And while you're doing that, Dr. Pat, you're so right. I know a lot, but as you say, it's just endless, the tarot. I don't think I'd ever be able to learn enough to do readings, although that would be fascinating.
Yeah. You're going to get a copy of the book, by the way, Pat.
Thank you. And thank you so much. And, you know, it stretches. You can take all of these symbols to Jungian, you know, psychology, mythology. It covers everything in the world in a way. Tarot is fascinating.
It is fascinating. And thank you for bringing that up, because I totally was basically almost disowned from my family after going to school. My relationship, after going to school for 10 years to get a doctorate in psychology, only to find out, because I do live on another planet, only to find out that in the state of Washington, I could not practice clinical psychology and use things like tarot or astrology.
Wow.
Wow. I would have gotten, I lost my license. And so here we are today, and it was the best discovery I ever had because I'd never be doing what I'm doing today. But, you know, I'm going to learn something from you two right now. I'm going to be quiet. Go ahead. Lisa, okay. Pat, take it away.
I get that your number, so your date of birth, add up to 28, so we added the 8 and the 2 together, and we get 10. So that is the Wheel of Fortune and the Magician, because we add the 1 and the 0, we reduce that number further, and they're your two cards.
Okay.
We see them as your birth cards, okay? So they've got really interesting energies. You think the 10 and the 1, and this can relate to cycles in your life as well. You may go in 10-year cycles, or you may feel that you build something up from scratch. You know, you reinitiate it. The 1 stands for that you see the numeral written, it's I, the individual, yeah? And the 10 is, and in the major arcana, it's the Wheel of Fortune. So it's being able to have many changes of fortune in your lifetime. And when you see when you get the book, you'll see at the back there's a tarot scope, so you can look up which tarot cards are influencing your year by year.
Cool.
So it's a bit like astrology, so that when you have your tarot birth card, it's a bit like having a star sign, but then you have the planets that are going through the houses and in constant motion throughout time. So you could look at it and say, well, what cards were influencing me when I was 34? And you might say, it's the Empress, that's when I had a child, you know?
Uh-huh.
So you see these patterns moving through your life.
Wow. Wow.
And it's my birthday tomorrow.
Oh,
yes, I was just going to say that, because you said, you were like 7-12, I'm like, tomorrow, happy birthday.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, I guess I'll have a different card. No
yeah,
cycle.
And by the way, don't hang up, let Betty get your address so
thank
we can
you.
Send you... send you the book, okay? The book
thank
is fascinating.
Both.
Yeah, let me just tell you, the book is so fascinating. When you go through the book, I'm just like, this is amazing to me. First, the drawings are beautiful, the layout, the way that Liz talks about them. Like, when I start to look at, like, the number and then the card, I'm like, why haven't we done this before? Because now this is, like, making total sense to me. Now I understand a bit more. Pat, please hang up. Please hang on. Don't hang up.
Thank you so much.
The line. Benny will get some information. Thank you.
Thank you,
1-800-930-2819. Please call and, you know, just get your question out there. I want to get back to, while Benny's busy, I want to get back to the card you pulled because
yeah.
I'm fascinated, like super fascinated because you always have to say, how'd you know?
They're in the collective, isn't it? It's there between us. But something else, this is very relevant to you, is that we can number in our minds anyway the court cards, which is the page, the knight, the queen, and the king, just a bit like playing cards. Now, I don't use those numbers when I'm doing a calculation, yeah? But some people do, and this is an option. Now, if we're looking at the page, it comes right after the 10, so the page would be number 11.
Wow.
Pages are 11.
You can't make this stuff up. I'm sorry. You know, you really can't. But, you know, it's fascinating to me because, see, this makes so much sense to me now in so many ways. But what I love about the book, of course, is I love the way you and I'm going to, this is my term. It's almost as if it's a painstakingly went through and explain things in ways that for many of us, we couldn't connect the dots because we didn't have this piece of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, for me, this is the first time I think for me that tarot is understandable in this language, in this idea of looking at the cards, the representations, and the numbers. I mean,
yes.
it gives it another dimension. Because there's so much depth in tarot anyway, right?
Yeah, but you're so right. It's about giving people an access point, somewhere, some place that everyone can find to get into a tarot card, you know, so that it's equal. Everybody understands the number. They might not understand an occult motif, but they will understand the number.
Yeah.
So, but I love being able to make tarot accessible to people.
Yeah.
Because it's about our own empowerment. You know, I love helping people to learn to read their own cards. Because it's a way of connecting, checking in with ourselves. And once you remove that bafflement and to some extent the fear of certain cards in the deck, we get rid of all that. And we go, these are these incredibly powerful images, archetypes and symbols that we can work with. And they help us to connect with us. We're making the conscious, you know, the unconscious conscious.
Yeah. Now, we've got another caller. We're going to come on in a minute, but we're going to take a break. What I would like to know is, how do people get the deck for themselves, Liz, and also how they find out about you? Please give out folks a lot of information if you could, and then we'll go right to Linda after we come back from break. So what's your website, the best way to do that?
It's at lizdean.info. Yeah.
Perfect. And there's a lot of information when you all go there. And you go to Liz's website, a lot of information about her, about her books, about mentoring, about readings. So it's just everything here. And don't forget, when you go there, there's also like this free tarot course as well. So there's a lot here and very, very generous by Liz Dean. And again, it's Liz, L-I-Z, Dean.info. When we come back, we're going to hop on with Linda. Get your questions ready. I have a question for Liz, too. 1-800-930-2819. We'll be right back.
Impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Ally Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Introducing The Brilliant Black Man Show with Melissa Johnson. Tune in as Melissa shares the stories of successful black men across the country. This show is designed to change the narrative of how black men are portrayed in the world. The show will highlight their brilliance and how they are making a difference in their family, community, boardroom, and the world. For more information on the show, visit WildMinistriesLLC.com.
Thank you.
everybody. Welcome back. I want to keep telling you that you got to hop over to Liz's website, and it's lizdean.info. Don't forget the info. And then when you get over there, this is not the only book, right? This is not the only book that she has written. I just want you to want to be really clear on this. There are many things here, many links there. You can also schedule time, right? You can also book a reading. And, you know, this is where you get to understand the depth and the breadth of what somebody like Liz does. Because for people like me, you know, tarot and numerology have always been a bit of a mystery for me. But when you put them together, they make so much sense. And what I want to love to do now is, and we could also share the story that we had. And I was telling Liz, and we're going to have Linda come on. I was telling Liz that the date to launch our technology has just not felt right. You know, I can't explain it. You know, it's not that I'm afraid. It's just something didn't feel right. And I finally decided September feels great. And Liz actually picked the date that I was thinking. And what you're going to find out when we bring this next guest on is how absolutely tuned in Liz is. Linda, welcome to the show. Are you there?
Hey, Linda, are you there?
Hey, Linda, are you there?
I sure might have stepped away there, Pat. I'm not sure.
All right, Linda, we'll wait for you to come back.
Let's take Charlene. Is that okay? Can we take Charlene then? Charlene, hey.
Yeah. Hey, Charlene, welcome to the show. Where do y'all go, Benny?
I don't know. I'm working on this here. Charlene, are you there? All right, let's try this. Let's go back to Linda. Linda, are you there?
I'm here.
Bang, there we go. All right, happy, happy, scrappy.
I heard that whole conversation.
Good job, Linda. Okay, what is your question for Liz today? And you're not gonna believe the date she picked. Okay, so we were talking during the break about when to launch the network, and I said it's never felt right. And what felt right was September. What date do you think she picked in September out of all the 30 days? What number did she pick?
11.
No. What? No. The 20th.
Oh. How would I know?
Exactly. What's your question? How can we help you today?
Well, I'm not sure what kind of a question I'm asking. Can I, like...
Well, what's on your mind? What do you want to know about in your life?
When the chaos is going to stop?
That's a good one.
When the chaos is going to stop. Now that's interesting.
And by the way,
say
it
like that.
Linda's birthday
is
September 20th.
Looking at the numbers in tarot that relate to the special day in September, we're talking about this launch, and it adds up to 15. Which is the card of the devil. And if you add 1 and 5, you get 6, which is the lovers. So this is saying that there's a lot of strife to clear. There's a lot of clearing to be done, and some of this feels like it's in contracts, negotiations, maybe even legal stuff. Anything that binds you to a particular, maybe a supplier, a person, a promise, that is waiting to be cleared, so that you can go back to feeling like you've got this, you can make the choices you want to make, that there's something that just needs to move along, and it will do by the time we get into the ninth month. So
Linda, how does that feel for you? Do you have contracts you're looking at? This
everything,
is direct-
everything that she just mentioned, I have going on.
Wow. That's like a triple devil.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is all other people's stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
And sometimes
right?
We're trying to keep people happy. We just tie ourselves up in knots. No.
How did you know that was all somebody else's stuff?
I know. Yeah. When you work with images and symbols for a long time, they begin to talk to you. And actually, I just taught a class on this morning called Talking Symbols. And there's a familiarity there. We just get to trust what we feel and what we see in our cards. And I don't have to have the card in front of me, but I know I can bring that card to mind. And that's what I teach people to do, is to be able to trust the information they get from the symbols. Because we're all powerful. And there's an idea that if you do this work, you are born with a gift. No, not true. Everybody has the gift. We need it for survival. You know, we had this probably much more strongly. Our ancestors did when we were a less evolved society. And now I feel like that ability to really tune into ourselves and work with images is something we really need. We really need to have this in our lives. The way that we need art, we need music, we need something to inspire, and we need a way to keep connected. So working with symbols helps us stay connected to ourselves. And when we are really self-connected, we get really connected with each other. And that's how I feel like information passes somehow silently between us on the psychic internet. Or, you know, it's the collective unconscious, isn't it? I guess the collective.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think that's how it
so,
I've
so
thought a lot about
it. I can look forward to September coming.
You can. You'll be back in control by then. And I mean control in a positive way. You feel that you're calling the shots, you're making the decisions, and you'll be looking at what is going to be absolutely best for you long term. It's not short term. This is going to solve a problem, get this person off my back, or get this situation. This is going to give me a breather for a couple of months. No, the decisions you make are going to be long lasting, and they will be a real, real benefit to you in your future. It's just having the self-trust to go, you know what, I can do this. I trust that this decision is right for me long term, and I'm going to maybe not take the easier option this time.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's
okay.
Helpful.
This is
yeah,
good. Thank
it
you.
Is,
thank
right?
you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you so much. Wow. And just for the listeners, so you know, what happened during the break is I was asking Liz about the launch of our new technology and our expansion and our crowdfunding and the launch of AI for the Soul, the introduction to it. And Liz immediately picked a date, September 20th. That was the exact date. And by the way, that's actually Linda's birthday who just called in. So I hope that's not that triple devil thing. I hope it's more like the trifecta.
Yes, it is.
Of having the winning ticket. At this last Kentucky Derby. Liz Dean, Betty, I'm ready to take our next caller if you are.
Yeah, Charlene from Canada. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Charlene. Welcome.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey,
good.
Thank you.
So I have a
How
question.
Can we help you? What's your question?
What does Liz get out of my my birth date?
Okay.
Is April 15th, 1961. And I am 61. And 15 is one of my favorite numbers.
Wow.
And I get the angel numbers all the time, all of them. All the time.
Ah. Get it on your watch and clocks and the clock on your computer as well? Yeah. Okay.
Everything. You have receipts, license plates, wherever.
Now, we have... Uh-huh. Oh, well, I love this one. You have the Moon and the Hermit as your birth cards. Wow.
Ooh.
That's an interesting combination.
Oh, now I can't hear. I can't wait to hear this. Go ahead.
Yeah. So with the hermit, this is the solitary seeker. This is someone who's always been seeking their path. So this is the spiritual path that you're still looking for whatever it is that's going to, I can't even express this in the right language, but it will come. You're looking for the one thing, yeah? There's something that you're following, and I feel like you've followed many paths to get to this point. But the moon, that is the world of the unconscious itself. It's the world of psychism. and also the unconscious and the feminine. For me, when the moon comes up, it's about self-doubt as well. So there's wobbles on the path, perhaps. So maybe you haven't been able to find exactly what you're looking for yet. But you have this amazing capacity to learn. And I think you're pretty fearless as well. But maybe that's something to recognize within. Does that make any sense to you?
It does. And Dr. Pat knows me, so she knows for years I've been following. And it really does, because it's making the unconscious conscious, like, mm-hmm. and just all kinds of things. It's just like, this is amazing to me, this book, because I work with numbers too, so I'm really interested in this.
And the Hermit being number 9, I see 9s as numbers of intensity, because they're accumulative. The 10 is a release, whereas the 9 mm-hmm. holds the energy of all the numbers that have gone before it. So when we've got a Hermit energy going on, there's a real intensity there. There's a gathering in of knowledge, and then a decision follows. What do I do with this? Where does this need to take me? What do I need to find? And it's really about being on our soul's path in this lifetime as well, finding that path and embracing it.
Use the knowledge.
Exactly. Yeah. Know your wisdom.
You can accumulate it, but then if you don't use it.
It's the expression, is the 10, isn't it? So there's always the next step after the Hermit, which is, what do we do with it? Now we've got it all. And no self-doubt in this.
Dr. Pat already said to write a book, so I guess I... Maybe I'll end up on the Dr. Pat show.
I mean, I got to tell you, anything is possible. The fact that I'm on the Dr. Pat show is kind of a miracle. So,
I love you.
You know, thank you so much. But make sure you stay online so Benny can get your information so we can send you a book, okay?
Oh, thank you so much, ladies, both of you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the reading.
No, thank you very, very much. Thank you. I want to talk, Liz, if we could. And for those of you that are wondering, you're going to be able to get your copy of the book. Go ahead and check it out. But also take a look at all the other things that Liz is putting together. It's really easy to do. You just go to lizdean.info, I-N-F as in Frank O. So let's make sure you go ahead and do that. Because there are so many things that Liz does to help people not just understand more, but also one of my favorite words, mentor people. You know, mentor people. And that is one of my favorite words. It always has been for a long time. And, you know, get a copy of the book, because the book really lays things out in different ways that you can understand it. You know, everything from understanding recurring numbers and getting a sense of that. But let's talk about this in the time we have left, because there is so much depth to the book, Liz, and yet you've managed somehow to lay this out in a way that is so understandable. You know, what were some of the challenges that you had in creating not just a book like this, but the conceptualization of this?
Ah, yeah. Well, I always think, what do people want to know? I know what I want to share before I start a book, but I think, how do people want to get that information? So I always try to begin by keeping it simple, right? Because it's easy to get complicated with tarot, really easy. So I thought, okay, well, how about we have a love reading, say when we're putting out a spread of cards to interpret. So why don't we use the energy of two, you know, and have pairs, do pairs of cards, bring in the energy of that number, right? So we're working in a framework of numbers, yeah? So if we're going to be thinking about tests and challenges, maybe we'll use a 5-card reading, because that's often the number of mankind, so that's often about tests, experience, and challenges. 6, number of harmony, and I see 6 as, I call it, the microcosm of completion, because when we get to 6 in the minor arcana, every minor arcana, there's a miniature sense of completion there. You know, we get the 6 of wands, and it's someone celebrating on horseback, riding, they're in a victory parade, right? It's not the end of the story, but it's let's celebrate the success we have, you know? And with the cups, I call it the card of the visitor. It's when someone from the past returns, so we get complete about the relationship. And we can raise these numbers across the suit, so it doesn't matter what card you've got, particularly in the minor arcana, because there's so many, there's 56. People can get overwhelmed and thinking, oh, I don't know what's going on there. Look at the number. And the number will tell you 5. Oh, that's going to be a kind of test, isn't it? Then the image will show you, does it look grisly? Are there swords about? Are there a lot of flames? Is someone just having a little bit of a play and a joust here? Are they cups? Are the cups turned over? We can look at that, and so anyone can access these amazing cards. Yeah. And then I've been reading them and working with tarot for over 35 years, and every time I think, okay, what now? Not because I know everything, by any means. You can never know all of it. But what is exciting me next? Yeah. What do I need to share? So when I put a book together, I try to feel get a feel of what was I like when I was a newbie? What did I need? And then I put stuff in that entertains me now.
Yeah.
So I get more advanced readers, professional readers will go, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that there's an internal resonance in the major and minor arcana. I didn't know that you could relate the number 4 in the minor arcana to the hanged man, because actually he's got the number 4 in the shape of his legs. It's a 4 in a mirror form.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of ways to help you remember what the cards mean without going too near a book. Because if you want to do tarot study, that's a separate thing. But when you're reading, you're in the moment. We're in the
exactly
in the now. And that's when the symbols and the numbers come alive, when we're not in our index.
I love that
symbol is index. You know, we go into what we think we should know and what we don't.
And I love that you have so many different spreads. I mean, what I mean by that is I went through this. I didn't expect to say, well, wait a minute, I can take a year out. Now I can include astrology. You literally presented different ways that people can explore and really step out and look at, you know, whether it's a 10-card spread for everything, or I was looking at the year ahead, the astrology one. I mean, there's just so much. I found it fascinating because what you're providing is the connection for the how in the first part of the book and explaining it, and then now we get to practice it. And so thank you for putting so many opportunities in here for people to explore, because most books don't do this. Most books don't have this many spreads. They give you like 3, and you've seen them before, but you're truly drilling down on the idea of tarot and numerology and astrology and intuition. And that's what I found so brilliant. Now, look, we have one more caller. I think we can get to another caller.
Okay.
Benny, let's go. Who do we have?
Sure, we will take now. Where's she at? Laura from Oakville, Ontario. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Now, what question do you have? What do you want to know?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm very in tune to, like, the angel numbers coming through strong for me for a while now. And I love, like, tarot and astrology. But maybe I'll just get something on my birth date and see what happens. I don't know. Is that possible?
Okay, so that's great. Let's look at your birth date, Laura. If you could just give it to me.
Okay, August 3rd, 1966.
Okay. I'm just going to double check that. Not being strong at adding up, I can do it. Yeah. Actually, you are the moon and the hermit, which is what we just had for our previous caller as well. So there's the synchronicity starting to kick in here.
Oh, wow. I was calling, so I missed some of what was said from the other caller. Oh.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, it is good.
different. It will be different for you because we work with the energy that the numbers give us in the present. So do you have a question you'd like to ask me?
Yes. Do you have a question?
Yes. I've just been doing and practicing and studying energy work for a really, really long time. And, you know, I'm in the transition of eventually I want to give up my day job and do what I love.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what my question is. I'm just sort of in the process of, you know, kind of the last couple of years trying to get that started. But it's been very, like, slow and stuck feeling.
Yeah, I know you didn't hear part of the last call, but we were talking about the hermit is number 9, and 9 being the numbers of intensity. And we were talking, and Dr. Pat was saying about, well, you know, what do you do with that knowledge? You know, because the hermit is the learner, he's the monk, the ice seat. So how do we express the learning? So you've been doing all this work and gathering all this knowledge, and that frustration. Is that, are you on the top of the Rocky Mountain looking out thinking, hey, but where do I put this? And if so, how do I make money from it? How can I be supported? And so the flip side of this is the moon, right? Because this is potentially looking at something in your past as well that needs to be cleared, right? That's what I'm getting. I don't want to say more than that because obviously we're lies, but there's a clearing for you that's coming up. And this is also a healing. And I feel that there's one thing that just needs to be cleared. And then I feel like you'll have fair sight of what you need to do. I mean, you're very connected because when I'm visualizing, I'm seeing the moon, I'm seeing that moon energy around you. I do feel that you need to be giving to people in this lifetime as well. It's really important for you to be able to be of service. Does this make sense?
Totally, absolutely makes sense.
Okay.
Yes, and there's some big stuff.
Yeah, okay. So it's also that question of self-belief as well, isn't there? Because as we see the crayfish on the moon card, which I'm visualizing the card, that's where I'm being told to draw on the cards to that image. And that crayfish is so keen to go on the new path, but his friend. You know, we've got two dogs, right? A friendly dog and a wild dog walk. So he's kind of poised to act. So it's just that bit of clearing, okay? Because when you look at the, you've got two number nines here with the moon and the hermit. Of course, they're your dual birth cards. So I feel that can be a pattern. You know, when we have birth cards, it can often show us the pattern that shows up throughout our life. So it might be for you that you learn and you learn and you make sacrifices to learn as well. But it's like, oh, but can I do it now? Or should I just go back and learn some more rather than do it? So it's having the confidence.
Yeah, I feel like I'm ready to do it.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I was saying about the launch. You know, and sometimes it seems like it's procrastination to the people around you, but it may take a bit for something to feel effortless almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's a difference sometimes in when something feels light, it feels right. Right, Liz?
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like when the pressure is gone, when that pressure is lifted, and you can offer this up to the universe and go, okay, I'm ready. I offer you these skills and this learning, and it's time for you to co-create with me. Yeah? So also with the
absolutely.
9, you've got 3 threes together as well. So maybe this is something to do with the course that you've done that might be being in 3 sections or over 3 years or 3 months, but the threes come up really strongly as well.
Oh, that's I've been with Tracy L. Clark. She used to have a show on here, and I've been studying her body with Jen, and I actually purchased the body with Jen 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
So, yeah. And now you've completed your 3. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I started the 3, and then the first class was pretty intense, and then I was going to do the second class, and then my whole life exploded. So I have to sit down and finish 3.
Well done. So your clearing really is to be able to go back to the energy of the Empress, the the original three, which is the generator and the producer. So just staying close to what you feel is right for you. So don't be overwhelmed. This will come.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad I happened upon your show. I just happened upon it. So
and see, that's not, there's no mistake at that, because what time do you think the show started in the Pacific Northwest? 11. Thank you for calling in.
Of course.
Thank you. Oh, my God. So much. We've talked about so much. The time has gone by. Susie, thank you for, Susie Hutchins, thank you for your email. I just saw it. And you, Susie's like, of course your number is 11, Pat. Susie has been with this show 20 years, I think, since I first started it. We have the best audience on the planet. I love our audience. I mean, just amazing people. Liz, I can't thank you enough for bringing another dimension to this. You know, I love matrices. I love them. I love to see relationships of things and their interrelationships. And that's what you've done here, is you added really a missing piece for someone like me, right? Because it's so fascinating when someone like you shows up, comes up with the date that I was thinking about, which happens to be the birthday of Linda, who called into the show. See, you can't plan that, can you?
No. Because we're in the moment together, and anything is possible. I'm so grateful to share this time with you, Dr. Pat, and your listeners, who are just amazing.
Yeah. You know, Liz, thank you so much. I do have one question. And for those of you out there, go visit lizdean.info. I would love to know your personal message. I would love to know what you'd like to leave us with today.
Know yourself. Know yourself. Because you're all love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing too philosophical or profound, but that's why we do this work, is to know ourselves.
Yeah. And thank you so much for making it so fun to know ourselves, right? Thank you so much for bringing your light into the world and helping those of us out here that are in search for an understanding and meaning on some days when, like Linda said, it seems like chaos is all around us. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to do that. I can't wait to do the 12-month spread. You can tell I'm not going to do the daily one. I'm going to do the 12-month one, right?
You might just go for 11 now.
Liz Dean, everybody, I'm Dr. Pat. Thank you all for tuning us in. Susie, thank you so much for your kind words. And to all of you out there, our producers, Benny, Jacob, and to all of you, man, you are the best anywhere. We'll see you next time.